The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now, we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlow, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Ira Shaffel, warchant.com's own, going to join us in about 15 to 20 minutes. Second segment of this hour is when Ira will jump on and we'll get his thoughts on some of what we were discussing last hour. Jim Phillips' Q&A with the assembled press there and sort of the scrum, if you will, and his thoughts on, hey, I didn't get to read. I want to clarify this. Tom did a good job of touching on the point that we were really laughing at, but I didn't actually read the direct quote. So I'll do it here in just a second. I would also note that tomorrow's baseball game, that's right, it's a Thursday through Saturday series, has seen a time change. I believe that's 7 o'clock, Tom. Did I see that come across the wire? Probably.
That is correct. 7 o'clock, no changes to the other games. It also sounds like Link Jarrett had indicated the fence is going to be a little bit shorter, right? Because it's a temp fence, you see. And so there will be one. It's just not as tall as we're used to. So it would be a smaller monster, a monsterino.
Yeah, by the way, I do see in the chat, this is funny, the Heisman Legal Law Firm chat, this makes me laugh. Tweet by Brett McMurphy, SMU officially joins the ACC on July the 1st. Cal and Stanford don't officially join until August the 2nd. The quote from Commissioner, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips as to why, I have no idea why, but it happens. This is what happens when you don't think it through prior to being asked the question and have a prepared answer that makes more sense than, say, that one. Because what happens is if you are in a room and you have advisors and people that you talk to about how you're going to handle situation by situation, question by question, you can guess what's going to be asked of you. You know the pertinent questions involving the new teams that are joining the league. You know that you're going to get a question about the ESPN contract. You know you're going to get questions about Florida State and Clemson. So you can kind of vet all of this with your team and have them ask you the question, and then whatever it is you've prepared to answer, you could say. And if you said this answer out loud, again, we were having this conversation yesterday, Tom. Sometimes if you just say this thing out loud, you get greater clarity of what you can't say. And when he said SMU's joining the conference on July the 1st, Cal and Stanford won't join until August the 2nd, I have no idea why, but it happens. In the room, somebody would have gone, well, now, Jim, that's not a sufficient answer. You also don't paint yourself in the greatest light as commissioner of the league to say to somebody, you have no idea. Like, just stop right there. We're not going to begin sentences with, I have no idea, Jim, for the most part. Now, if somebody started to ask you questions about quantum physics, you could say, I have no idea, and you wouldn't be made to look bad. But if they're asking you questions about your member institutions and contracts, you can't say, I have no idea. See where I'm going with this, Jim? You just can't lead by saying, I have no idea. And this is nitpicky on my part, but it's very simple. That's like a PR team. That's anybody. Just go, Jim, let's not go with I have no idea. Let's reword that. Let's talk about some of the weird idiosyncrasies of teams leaving one conference and joining another. Let's go down that road a little bit. The answer will bore them to death, and nobody will hold you to it. But you can't go with I have no earthly idea. Just happens. Just happens. Crazy. You sound like a little kid who broke the lamp. Is asked about the lamp having been broken while your parent was away. Parent is home now, sees the broken lamp. Can't give me with, I have no idea. You're the only one here. Can't do it. Got to come up with some better explanation as to how that lamp ended up shattered on the floor. Even if it's a lie, it's just got to be a better thing than I have no idea.
Well, that's how I would have coached Jim there. Jim, you could just lie. Nobody's going to fact check you. There are no sports being played on July 15th that SMU is prohibited from, or Stanford's prohibited from joining the conference and playing in that sport on July 15th. It'll be okay. You could just say something like, oh, their current contracts with their conferences expire at different times.
Correct.
And whether that's true or not, and I'm going to guess it is. I'm going to guess it is. But if it isn't, you know, termination dates on contracts.
Next question.
Excellent answer.
Oh, yeah, great answer. Maybe completely false. Doesn't matter. Nobody's following up. Nobody's. That sounds reasonable. You'd go, all
right. Right. That's what old R.P. McMurphy in the audience is like, well, I ain't looking up a termination date on a Pac-12 conference contract. I don't care.
I don't care. What do I care when SMU joins the conference or Stanford and Cal? I don't care. So, yeah, I got an answer. We thought it was a little strange that it was staggered. We wanted to know why. Jim says it's contract termination dates. Seems reasonable enough. Next question. Yes, something more official. And even if you didn't want to lie, although you could have, you just can't give me I have no idea. It just happens. It doesn't just happen. These are like science deniers. It's just the best. You're like, really? A fairy did it. I bet we can do better. Wait. I bet we can do better.
We can. And we can. Hang on. A fairy did it, and it just happens.
Okay? Yeah. I suspect we can do better. We'll seek further clarification. May not have a legitimate answer for you for weeks, but I'm going to go down the rabbit hole since you asked me. I'm going to find out exactly why it is that the conference has teams joining on one date and another team not joining until a later date. That's what we're going to do. So, long story short, that's also part of it, is he doesn't hear himself. It's why he's an easy target. He sounds mopey, frightened, sheepish, got taken advantage of on multiple occasions by more authoritative, stronger, and willing combatants that happen to run other conferences. Repeatedly made to look bad, and then give us these kinds of non-answers that make you, in some cases, furious. I've learned not to get angry anymore because I now know who he is. And Jim is likely not a dumb man based on his educational history. And sometimes it's that people cannot handle being in a very public setting, public office, and having to answer questions on the fly. Some people's demeanor, body language, you name it, also not suited for the job. And so there are a variety of reasons that maybe this isn't their best use of their intellect. But either way, the man is the commissioner of the ACC, and this is the kind of nonsense we get on a regular basis.
Yes. You heard of Meek Mill? He's Meek Phil. That's who he is. He's just Meek all the time. And the Alliance knew it a year ago. Like, wait, do we get him to agree to all this? This is going to be awesome.
The Alliance.
Seriously, you might think this might be a contentious meeting. This would be the easiest meeting we ever had. Oh, there he is. Jim, come on in. Absolute. No, that seat right there. Perfect. Yeah. The one without the padding. Yeah, no, that's fine. Just sit right there. Every single time. Every time. He didn't fight to get airtime during the selection process. You know what he did? He popped into the TV press box to talk to Palmer and Joe Tess at like halftime. Well, he came by the press box earlier today just to make a note that this is this and this is true. Hey, man, Sankey was on. He was at the convention center, that loser center in Atlanta before the game starts. He was,
A filibuster. He was on for an hour stumping for his teams. Like, they couldn't get him off the damn dais.
They were he was testing their boundaries. He was, how much time can I get here? Because the more time I talk, the more power I have. And nobody said, let's go to break. That's the opposite is, well, I wonder if I could say hi to Jesse real quick and maybe Jesse would listen to my point. Hey, come on.
I was in Charlotte when that happened at the house that was rented for us. And I was watching this and I think I said to Aslan, what is going on? Like, why am I watching this a-hole take up half my time on game day? Why? What is happening? Get him off my TV, please. What are we doing? And then we all kind of rolled our eyes and said, you want to bet we don't at any point see the ACC commissioner? Safe assumption. Just like it is a safe assumption to make your way to Zaxby's if you want delicious food. Ooh, don't you try that at home.
Ooh, man.
Golden brown tender nuggets with that Zax sauce, spicy or otherwise. Some Texas toast. Get about it. Delicious.
Tender Nuggets is a great shirt. Just Tender Nuggets.
Can't wait to get my hands on them Tender Nuggets.
And then throw a Zaxby's logo on the back of the shirt. It's perfect.
It is perfect. Zaxby's, 116 locations. They've bounced back strong. You'll find a Zaxby's near you. There's no choice. 116 of them here in Tallahassee. Everywhere you look, you're on a corner somewhere in Tallahassee, across the streets is Zaxby's. I guarantee it. Go get it. It's delicious. And they've got fried shrimp now. Fried shrimp never sucks. And it especially doesn't suck when you get it from Zaxby's. I just had it last week. Delicious. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. And I know FSU appreciates you because Danny has been a Golden Chief booster for over 19 years. Aiding Florida State's efforts to kick ass. Thanks to Zaxby's. In part, thanks to Zaxby's. Ira Shafel, he was at these spring meetings. He got a chance to hear Jim Phillips explain how it was that they negotiated hard. Hey, now. And came up short. Came up just short. We'll talk to Ira about that when we get back. Oh, it's Jeff Cameron Show. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Our very own Ira Shafel, warchant.com, and he was there at Amelia Island covering these meetings. That's a good thing, and I appreciate that. Ira, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jeff.
We did it right on the first try. How about that, man? We're rolling. Becoming a professional right before everybody's eyes, 26 years into the job.
You're all grown up. We're enjoying it.
Okay, so I want to read this to you because it hasn't stopped making me laugh.
Oh, no.
And then I want your comments on all things Jim Phillips. Okay, Phillips mentioned that he was not happy with the new college football playoff revenue distribution model, which obviously, for those that don't know, will provide much more money to the SEC and the Big Ten than the ACC and the Big 12. About that, he said, Ira, we negotiated hard. He went on to say that, unfortunately, the ACC did not perform as well in the metrics that they used in determining the money for the other leagues. Buddy, it just gets better and better and better with Jim. They did negotiate hard, Ira.
I did my best, guys.
What else do you want me to do? I understand you have concerns about the money. I tried. I expressed these concerns. Trust me, I negotiated very hard.
What I think he probably wanted to say, if we could give him some of the truth serum we've always wanted to give Jim Phillips, I think what he would have said is, yeah, I said we want more money, and the SEC, Greg Sankey and Petiti at the Big Ten said, okay, we'll hold our own playoff, and you guys hold your own playoff, and see how that goes. And then we took whatever they gave us. I think that's what he would have said.
I also like that that is giving him the benefit of the doubt. They could have just said no.
That's possible, go sit in the corner again.
They could have just said, no, Jim, we're not going to do that. Just like when...
Do we have to put you back in the corner?
I mean, Jim, how many times do we have to embarrass you publicly? We lied to your face repeatedly during the seismic shift you described earlier today in college athletics that nobody could see coming. That was also one of my favorite lines.
I do feel bad for the guy because, again, I mean, as we've covered many times, I don't know that there's much any commissioner could do with what the ACC is facing. I do give him credit for at least trying his best to say that he still thinks the league's on solid footing, that they're still solidly in third place behind the Big Ten and the SEC, and that they're not going anywhere. You know, he talked about the TV contract with ESPN, and he talked about you know, the future of the conference, and you know, the fact that they've added three world-class institutions in Cal, Stanford, and SMU. And I mean, I almost wanted to write that he sounds bullish, but I couldn't type the words.
I also enjoy the fact that he, at first, when he was attempting to sound bullish for the first time in his life, he said that the ESPN contract with the ACC runs through 2036, and he said it confidently before having to admit that it was a fluid situation and there's a look-in.
That's one way to describe it. I mean, the way he's describing it, is, and again, I mean, my guess is he might be parsing words a little bit to make it sound good, but he presented it as the deal will exist till 2036, but there is a look-in, and instead of saying that it could end in 2027. So anyway, it's semantics. I mean, I think clearly, if I had to guess, because we really don't know, this was something that came out in FSU's lawsuit after looking at the ESPN contract. And my guess is maybe ESPN wanted that look-in to say, if this conference loses some of their top schools, we want to be able to renegotiate. Because I don't believe the ACC would get dropped by ESPN. ESPN still has to fill a lot of hours on the weekends with college football, but I think it may give them an option to reduce the amount. So when Jim Pope says it's not going anywhere, that may be true, but it may be reduced if FSU and Clemson and maybe North Carolina leave the conference.
Well, and it would be significantly reduced. And yes, he's not going to come on there and say, oh, guys, we're going to exist in a depleted fashion for the foreseeable future. Yeah, he's not going to do that. And I get that. Ira, give me the big picture. It's easy to poke fun at Jim Phillips, so I do it hours at a time. But I also understand that there may be some other issues that I ignore in the midst of making fun of Jim Phillips in his sheepish efforts at the dais. Anything that you found out that intrigued you or was news to you, or can you give us a sense of what the feel of those meetings were like with the other schools and the reporters that were there to cover them?
Yeah, I I'd probably want to focus on the reporters because, you know, I don't have as good a relationship with some of these other ADs as they do. And I will say this, though, you know, talking to these other, you know, if you look at the way, and I'll write about this for our site, but if you look at the last couple of years of these meetings, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, back to 10 years ago when we were going through all this with the FSU and the ACC, the feeling has pretty much always been, until the last year or so, that, you know, FSU's being a whining, FSU's being a pain in the butt, you know, FSU's complaining, they're the squeaky wheel, we get it, but they're kind of the outlier. Last year, you started to hear other media members, after they talked to their sources, saying, yeah, this doesn't really seem great for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
You're Clemson and North Carolina and other schools talking. Now, when you talk to these other reporters who cover these other schools that are not Florida State or Clemson, including some of the national reporters, like, they all feel like the ACC's, you know, it's more likely than not that it's going to either cease to exist or just crumble into something that's a fraction of what it is now. And that's the prevailing feeling from people in the media. Again, people who don't necessarily cover FSU or Clemson. So to me, that's kind of newsworthy or noteworthy that everybody seems to see the writing on the wall.
A little late, guys, especially for those that were ACC Twitter warriors and tried to tell the world how selfish Florida State was acting and how, you know, pompous, et cetera, the fan base was for believing that they were worth more than, say, a Wake Forest. You know, it drives me nuts to see so many of these writers now, not all, but many of them come around to the way of thinking that Florida State led the charge with, which is, don't you want to compete for titles? Don't you want to matter in the only sport that brings home real revenue, real significant revenue? Don't you care that you're getting the shaft and that it's only going to get worse with the way things are trending? Those folks all acted like FSU. It's fans, it's administration, anybody that defended Florida State's efforts to stick up for themselves. They all acted like Florida State was being a spoiled child and was in some ways wrong to do so. Now they see the writings on the wall. Yeah, good luck, guys. Go to hell.
And I think what was another thing that was interesting from Michael Alford's comments yesterday, and I know sometimes fans, you know, when they read comments from a president or an AD that are not as forceful as they'd like to see, some people, you know, get upset or they wonder, they want to see more vigor, more, you know, fire and brimstone from these officials. I thought if you read between the lines or just read some of the subtle comments from Michael Alford,
yeah,
they were pretty strong. Like one thing he talked about was, you know, he was asked about Clemson filing lawsuit and whether or not he was surprised by that. And he said, no, I wasn't surprised by that. And, you know, Clemson is a school that desires to achieve success. they desire to be an elite college football program. In other words, unlike the rest of you,
yeah,
I mean, he didn't say that, but that's kind of implied. And then, you know, the other one was just talking about the frustration about the way the league has handled things. I mean, he's not going to say that, you know, the deal that there's no chance they could stay in the ACC. But if you read between the lines, I mean, it's clear this is not going to be a successful venture, and Florida State needs to get out.
Well, and there's no sense, I would say, to the people who want him to continue to saber rattle. He already did it. He already did it. Right. He made the announcement with authority. And then he has doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down on it. There's no reason to keep doing it. Everybody understands Florida State's position. They're firmly entrenched in that position. That is not going to change unless Jim Phillips were to announce something crazy like, hey, everybody, I've decided last second, Florida State gets 70% of all the revenue the conference makes. Yeah, I mean, like, exactly. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and also, you know, you had, again, a year ago, you had Florida State doing their saber rattling, and Clemson was doing a lot of it behind closed doors. And now, in the last year now, Clemson obviously came out, they did their lawsuit, and now you see North Carolina now, this is the second time this week that their board of trustees have come out with comments with real concerns about the ACC and the ACC payouts. And it feels like, you know, the next step is going to be for North Carolina to do the same. And it's like, man, how do you survive as a conference if you lose those three schools? It could survive as a conference, but it won't be anything like, it won't be considered. It'll be considered along the lines of, you know, the Group of Five conferences.
Oh, 100%. And as we've heard from Tom Kwitz when he's come on, and really anybody else covering this case with a law background, they've all said the more people that enter the fray, the better it is for Florida State. I mean, in essence, at that time, at that point, you know, you're fighting a war on all borders here. You're like, you know, you look to your left, you look straight ahead, you look to your right, man, there's somebody there. Everybody's there. They're at the door. They're at the gates. At some point, the ACC just decides on a number, mediates all of this, and says, I'm out, right?
You would have to assume so. And again, that ESPN deal looming next year is why it's kind of so interesting. And I would love to know, you know, the ESPN deal was, this is one of the things that FSU alleged in their lawsuit, was the ACC was, and the ESPN were supposed to have that look in originally a year or two earlier, or actually I think 2 or 3 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
But ESPN pushed it back. They wanted to push it back till 2025. And you wonder if ESPN knew what was coming and if they wanted to see how it all played out before they committed to what they're going to do in the future. And if that's the case, then again, it kind of makes you wonder how tied in the ACC, ESPN is with the ACC and how invested they are. Because that's one of the things that has been a big conversation this week behind, you know, on top of everything else is the issue with, you know, Florida State getting snubbed out of the college football playoff, the way the ACC got treated in terms of the run-up to the NCAA tournament and so many schools getting left out of the NCAA tournament. And the conversation, the question from a lot of the coaches to ESPN when ESPN was here this week was, what's your plan to help promote us? We're partners. We're supposed to be your partners. What are you doing to promote us? And from what we can gather, ESPN doesn't really have any answers for that, because the bottom line is that's not their interest. Their interest is promoting the SEC. And it makes you wonder, if they pushed that looking back a few years because they saw what was going to be happening in the meantime.
Yeah, it sounds like these meetings just further confirmed what we already knew, and then in some cases shined a light even brighter on it, that if you're in the ACC and you're seeking to compete at the highest levels and go toe-to-toe with your biggest rivals in this regional footprint, you're in the wrong place, because you're an asset to ESPN, but you are a second- or third-tier asset.
Hey, maybe Suge Knight should have showed up. Greg Sankey should have showed up for the guy from the Big Ten and said, if you want to be in a conference.
Yeah. You don't want your ADs dancing in your videos. And you know.
For sure, man. And then you have these other schools that have to go on as business as usual, because they understand the reality that, you know, these schools are going to be leaving and they're going to be stuck with this conference. And what does that look like? And it's a weird place, man. This conference is a weird place right now, but I think it's all going to, I do get the sense in the next year or so, you know, it's, for the most part, it's going to be resolved and we'll know where FSU is going to be.
Is managing editor Ira Schaffel at Amelia Island this time next year covering the ACC spring meetings?
I think we will not be here. Yeah, I, if I had to pick, I would say we'll not be here. Hey, if it's one more trip to Amelia Island, I won't be mad about it.
I was just going
to
tell you, soak it all in, buddy. Go enjoy yourself. Take your time. Drive slowly on your way out of town. It's a lovely area.
Actually heading down to Jacksonville this evening to talk to Mike Norvell again, because he's speaking to a booster club down there. So I'm going to go over there on the way home and talk to some FSU people along the way.
Well done. Good reporting, sir. Always appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow for headlines, I do believe, right?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, man.
Perfect, man. Take care. That's Ira Schaffel, warchant.com. Extracting more information as we go along here. Is Ira going to get something from Mike Norvell, who, by the way, said something about a offensive lineman that we need to go through and vet because of what else it means. And we'll do it next. That's what we'll do. How about that? Clunky tease, but a tease nonetheless. Jeff Garrett Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Check out warchant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's warchant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Where we shall solve for the future, thanks to our friends at ISF. More on ISF momentarily. But speaking of solving for the future, here you go. Mike Norvell, when talking about the offensive line, said, when you look up front, our offensive line has got a chance to be as good and as deep as we've had. I'm excited about seeing Robert Scott back here this fall. You've got Darius Washington, who I think has a chance to be an All-American left tackle. All right, well, there you go. Let's start there, Tom, because this is where it gets interesting. If you believed that Robert Scott, and you were excited about seeing Robert Scott this fall, you'd say that in anticipation, thinking that he was going to play a significant role for you. That'd be the only reason you'd say you were excited. If he just remained on the team in the capacity that he's been at for the better part of a year now, you might be excited because you like Robert Scott, the human being, but it's not a comment you would make about the potential of his game day presence, right? I think to follow it up by saying Darius Washington has a chance to be an All-American left tackle is very specific. So I'm going to assume, as I have for some time now and did every game last year, that Robert Scott isn't going to play a significant role on the offensive line for Florida State next year and that Darius Washington is going to be your starting left tackle.
I will agree with you on point one. They're going to hold out hope as long as they can for Robert Scott, but Robert Scott playing left tackle is no longer in the cards unless Darius gets hurt. That's the only way this works. Or you've got multiple injuries insofar as your backup center, who I don't know who that's going to be because it can't be Darius.
Identified, right?
It can't be Darius. If he's an All-American left tackle, that means if Maurice gets banged up, it's not Darius who slides inside. So I don't know who that guy is. Can't wait to learn who that guy is. But the only way that Darius moves off of left tackle is if you have multiple injuries at center. He's your emergency center, and you shift a whole bunch of stuff around. But if Robert's going to play, he's going to play right tackle or, I guess, a guard position, but I don't know. So that's the thing, is Darius is now entrenched at left tackle because it came from the coach's mouth. So, okay, that's nice to know. That's one piece of the puzzle down. You've got four options, I think, that are pretty good at guard. Think about it. They started Estes in the showcase, and that wasn't something that they just did on that Saturday. You saw him running with the ones. I know I did the day I was there for practice later in camp. But you've got Richie Leonard and TJ Ferguson, who I think are your two best guards. Keandre Jones is also in that mix. Maybe Armella can get in that mix. I'm not sure, but you've got four at least that they like at guard. You've got your left tackle. You know Mo is your starting center. Now it's about solving right tackle. Who's healthy? Who do they want to push faster? Who do they want to develop quicker? Okay, I like having an answer and an anchor at left tackle. That makes me feel a little bit better about the situation.
Well, your backup center is Ferguson, who has played some center before at Alabama, and that's who they would try to, I think, move to your backup center if he had to slide over from guard. He's your starting guard now, but that's probably your option. They don't have a lot of great options there. They do have depth on the offensive line that they haven't had in some time. We could argue about the overall quality of that depth, but they're not minus players. They may just be, you know, maybe not above replacement, but just somewhere right there even. I think they're going to be really good at the two guard spots this year, and they're going to maul people and run the football. I think Darius will do a good job at left tackle. I have concerns about right tackle, but I also think that there are some options that, you know, if they are to take a step forward in the fall, what if Lucas Simmons comes in here and is really, really much stronger up top than he was? He's got the footwork, he's got the trunk, he's got the length, he's probably long-term your left tackle, maybe not this year, but ultimately that's what he'll play before he leaves here if he's healthy. We know that. He's a prototypical NFL tackle if he's stronger up top. Maybe they feel like he can play some right tackle for him while Darius holds it down at left tackle for this year. You know, we both like Otto a lot. We both like several players that provide depth pieces for them on the offensive line. I think on the one hand, that kind of does illustrate Mike's point about how excited they are to have upwards of 10 guys they feel comfortable playing on the offensive line. And they do rotate guys, and they do juggle guys, and they do cross-train guys, and they do all that stuff. So you do have fall camp to kind of figure it out. Like, all right, well, we probably do have to have a plan in place here at center if Mo goes down, because he's been ravaged by injury his whole career. He's also had the heart of a lion and always found a way to fight and play through it and play at a plus level. But we got to have somebody behind him. And what does it look like if he comes out of a game? Who's shifting where, and what are our options? And that fall camp, you can do that. You didn't have to do that in spring, so that's fine.
It's a fair point, though, that Ferguson could be the guy. I mean, think about it. Two ways you confirmed it. One is that Stickle left, and I know that Stickle wasn't going to be any great shakes if, you know, you're in a big game against, say, Clemson's defensive line.
I like Stickle. I'm glad he got a chance to go, and he'll go play somewhere. He's a good player. He's a hard worker. Maybe he's not going to be good enough to play here.
Agreed. Yeah, on all fronts. Not denigrating the kid and his work ethic, but like in an emergency setting, you might have had to use him, but they're telling you and they're telling him, we don't need you in that situation anymore. Go play somewhere else. Like, meaning go play a bunch, go get a bunch of reps.
Yeah, go play, yeah.
And they're telling you with the Cam comment, or sorry, Cam, listen to me. I'm ahead of myself with what
Darius
I read.
Darius Washington.
But the Darius Washington comment, that he's not moving in. So they're telling you two different ways that they got a second option that they like. Now, to the point that I see in the Heisman Leak of chat, Cam Irving left tackle for center when it was needed. Yeah, but I don't remember Jimbo saying that he's got a chance to be an All-American left tackle in the preseason. The only way Darius moves from left tackle to center is if you have Lucas develop into an ultimate Orlando Pace level in college stud. Like, I don't, right? If your coach says that you are going to be a potential All-American candidate at tackle, man, you're staying there unless there is an absolute emergency or an absolute emergence of somebody else. But the fun part this year is, while they're high on Jalen Early, I'm higher on Otto and Lucas Simmons at tackle.
You and me both.
But they could be right. You know, they could be right about that. And Early is developing on a plan that they like and on a trajectory that they like. And so they have him in the mix with Byers to go along with Simmons and Otto. But if you're getting to that point, and let's just say, for argument's sake, that Robert Scott was available for a third of the games this year, four of the games. You're now talking. I get it. I get it. But you're.
I don't know why. Go ahead.
Because Coach is talking about it that way, and they didn't kick him. Like,
he's doing it, and he did it all last year, too. He's never going to play. It's just we need to stop the pipe dream. It's ridiculous.
Well, why would they continue to bring him up? He's a medical DQ candidate. Like, wouldn't they just not mention him at all if they were trying to make scholarships work?
Let's get to it. Let's get to it, buddy.
So just
I don't know what they're doing.
Allow me to continue with Rob's available for, say, a third of the game. So just give me that much.
I'll give it to you.
Okay. Then that's a good soundbite. So now you're at about six or seven options at tackle. Holy cow. Like you're talking about, I mean, really six options at tackle. You like what you love what you have. If you're Mike, apparently Darius had left. And I was impressed with Darius in the camp that he had at left.
I like Darius a lot. Yes.
He's a lot meaner and that's good to see. But when's the last time that you got to that level of, I mean, let's just even go without Robert, four or five potential options at tackle that you like. Maybe that's why he's excited. They've had options at guard. Like last year, they had options at guard. The year before, they had some options at guard. This is depth across the board in a way that they haven't had. And he has to feel that way to come out and designate a position for Darius yesterday. Like you wouldn't do that until the fall if you didn't feel comfortable.
I was excited about that. I thought Darius had a great camp there. I think he's going to have a great year. He's been a versatile offensive lineman. He's given him so much of what they've needed in a pinch. I like everything about Darius. I have obviously think that the ship has sailed on Robert Scott. I wish him well. I like Robert Scott a ton. When he was healthy, he was a real good football player for us. He hasn't been healthy in over a year and a half. They kept rolling his ass out there for five plays, seven plays. It was useless. I don't know why they did that. Other than they love the young man and they're hoping against hope that it can get righted, but there is no evidence, none, not even this spring. There was no evidence that Robert Scott was anywhere close to being back to where he needed to be. And now your head coach is telling you Darius Washington's your new left tackle. So I don't know how great he can feel about Robert Scott. That's all I'm saying, but I'm rooting for Robert Scott. And I do like these options that we keep talking about. And I think it is important that they have those options. And so this might be a perfect set of circumstances for Florida State to transition from being what they were on offense last year to what they want to be on offense this year, which is rugged, downhill, run the ball, play action, utilize the big arm and the newfound speed on the edges. I love it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Just like we love our friends at ISF and our collaboration with them. Speaking of collaboration, they got together with the Florida Department of Health, Child Care Food Programs Business Processes Review. That's what they do. They provided a thorough business process review for the Department of Health, Bureau of Child Care Food Programs. And by the way, they improved the payment systems. The MIPS, as it's known, is a system that is used by child care providers to submit federal reimbursement claims for meals and snacks provided for the children in their facilities. Man, you can't beat that. You improve that, you're changing a child's life, you're feeding people. This is what they can do with state government agencies, compensation. They do all these things for you. It's ISF, and we just solve for the future at tackle, it sounds like, over the spring, with Mike Norvell letting us know that it's Darius Washington, everybody. The Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. I love the cheese. Who doesn't love the cheese? So there you go, socialkitchentlh.com. Yeah, golf picks, right? A bunch of you wanted golf picks. So this is kind of weird. For those of you that don't know, obviously, a big part of these picks, and I'll always remind you, don't bet what you don't have. And we're going for the best odds here. We're trying to take guys that we think have an opportunity to make us money, not the favorites, typically. Or you can combine certain things. I will tell you this, Tom, they've gotten better with this on the Hard Rock app. You can do a Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy to both finish inside the top 20 bet as a parlay, and you get plus odds on that at plus 250. That's fun. They're adding to the mix now. It allows you to bet favorites in a way you never really could have before and get some decent juice.
I like that.
Oh, I got to turn you on. Go ahead. Now you're on.
Yeah, that specific bet, I do enjoy that idea because the way that this course is going to lay out and be played, it's going to be a little bit soggier with more receptive greens. That screams
McIlroy. Gotta have length, baby. Gotta have length.
Rory wins on soft greens, like outside of quail. Like he'll play quail and they'll be rolling 13s and he doesn't care. Otherwise, if you look at his majors, including the U.S. Open where he set the record and where he won this last major, Valhalla, soggy, soft greens are the way that he wins majors. And so this screams a top 10 bet for him. And Scotty's just an automatic top 10 bet if he rolls out of bet and decides to play in the tournament. So I like that bet.
I made that bet is why I brought it up. But I did make that bet. By the way, Benny On has been one of the best drivers of the golf ball for weeks and weeks and weeks. In fact, very quietly, Benny On is one of the better players on the PGA Tour in the last several weeks. I did place a little piece of money on Benny On as a top 10. A top 10 for Benny On. You can get him if you want to bet it three ways, top 20, top 15, top 10, or you can go 20, 10, 5. You can bet outright winner there. I like that pick. Max Homa to finish top 20. I did that as well. He's played well on long and difficult courses. And let's hope our local guy, Ludvig Åberg, is going to step to the plate again here. Length off the tee, accuracy off the tee, big here at Valhalla. He is as long and straight as there is on the PGA Tour. So another pick there. The only trepidation I have with Ludvig is he did withdraw 2 weeks ago and was nursing a bit of an injury. I don't know. I get nervous with that. You never really know what a player – like. It's like Matsuyama. I love Matsuyama on difficult golf courses. I love Matsuyama when long irons are very important because nobody hits long irons. Pretty much nobody hits long irons better than Matsuyama. But he's had an up and down year because of injury. If you get a healthy version of Matsuyama, I love him all day long in the top 20 here. Plus, he's a gamer. I mean, he's a tough dude. You want long odds at a guy who's an amazing ball striker? Will Zalatoris. Everybody's worried about Will Zalatoris because he too withdrew from a tournament earlier. I think Will's going to have a great week. I think he's going to hit it straight. He's going to be great with his irons. It's just a matter of whether or not he'll putt. He's actually putting pretty well right now. Pizza money on Will Zalatoris in the outright market as well.
Outright market. Okay. So a lot of these guys you're naming top 20s otherwise? Top 20s, top
10s? Mostly top 20s. I've combined a few things. I'll take top Canadian. Top Canadian, Pendrith in all likelihood. A lot of people take Corey Connors there. I like Pendrith for top Canadian. It's fun when you last week Sung J.M. found his form. When he finds his form, he's a top 20 machine. He's a cut-making machine. We know that. I have a hard time with a lot of the live guys, not just because of the choice that they made, but they don't play real golf over there. And the further removed they get from having played on the PGA Tour, the more we're seeing evidence that their form is not where it needs to be. John Rahm looked terrible at the Masters, and he regrets it. So much so that he's at the dais saying dumb things like he did yesterday, such as, I've always been supportive of the PGA Tour. I still feel like a member of the PGA Tour who's just been suspended. I get the hell up out of here with that nonsense, John. You know what you did, and now you regret it. You took the bag. You're playing 54 holes in shorts. It's stupid team golf that nobody cares about, and you look like ass, and half of your league does every time they tee it up these days. The lone guy that I will never not bank on to play well is Brooks, because he's a bit of a warrior, although he played terribly at the Masters.
He did, but this follows the same pattern as when he last won a major. Was he preceded that major with a live victory after disappointment, and that was, it was finishing second at Augusta, not finishing 50th or whatever he did. Right. He's basically one of the worst guys who made the cut, but he apologized to his team. He got mad at himself, and then he went out and he won a tournament. Like, it sounds so simple, but for Brooks, that's really it. It's like, if he cares and he feels like he either shorted himself or he was shorted by something else, he's going to compete. I think that's a top 10 bet in order to get better odds. Top 5 bet, probably, if not an outright play for him. And it follows the form. The PGA Championship, now they got two competing things. The layout is more like a U.S. Open. But the scoring is like a PGA Championship used to be relative to par. You go low. And the last two majors that were played here, Levo 4 and then Rory's in 14, 20 under won it, and then 16 under won it. So this might play a little bit lower. It's hard to tell because it's a matter of how much the rain has affected the slopes of the fairways. Do they play slower? Does it play longer than the greens? How receptive are they? If they are, man, then this is going to go another one, 13 to 15 under par probably.
The guy that is hoping for weather to play a role and turn this into a scramble fest is the guy that is looking to cap off the career Grand Slam. Jordan Spieth, we always forget this, looking to cap off a career Grand Slam, has been awesome off the tee this year. Always has a blow-up hole and falls off a cliff and is irrelevant, but is still a master at scrambling. If it becomes a scramble fest, maybe it happens for him.
Yeah, the lower the winning total. Pair those together. Get a prop on the total winning score relative to par. And if it's lower, then play Spieth. He also said something really idiotic yesterday. They're all taking turns. He's talking about how people say that there's an existential crisis. I chuckle. There's more motive. You know, if fans understood what I know.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, it's really not hard to be a likable guy.
That's why we like Max Homa, man. He says a lot of smart things. He's very, very likable. He's very, very likable. Good work out of you, sir. Appreciate it. Our thanks to Ira Shaffel. My thanks to all of you guys. We didn't get the probables today. We will tomorrow. Take care. It's Jeff Cameron Show. We'll be back. Oh, tomorrow is Seminole Headlines. We'll do it. Peace.